Some familiar music for Christmas time. Well, we associate it with Christmas time anyway, to start live and local today. It's called Sleigh Ride by Leroy Anderson, and that was a performance by the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra conducted by Leonard Slatkin. And it's one of the numerous familiar pieces that will be on the holiday concert Thursday night by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. 7:30 start on that concert. And we have on the first portion of our program, the guest conductor who will be joining the orchestra. Coming up later in the hour, around 4:30 or so, I'll be talking with Robert Rumbelow, who is the director of bands at the University of Illinois. Many band concerts happening this week as campus wraps up for the semester, and everybody gets their concert in, and the Wind Symphony will be no exception. That's the top band at the university, and he'll be conducting that concert. We'll hear all about it coming up. But first, Daniel Black is making a return appearance as guest conductor on these holiday concerts with Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. I probably asked you, Daniel, at that time, and I don't really remember the answer, that you got that gig initially, meaning when you were here before, because of your affiliation with the Rockford Symphony Youth Orchestra, and the former conductor of CU Symphony until this year, as they're doing a new search, Steve Larson still conducts the Rockford Symphony. I assume that was the connection at that point?
That's true. Steve Larson was actually unable to do the concert, and he had, hip surgery or some kind of surgery on his leg, and the doctor told him he couldn't conduct. So he gave me the call, and I had sort of, the kind of thing that you sort of dream about and also kind of dread as a young conductor, getting a call at the last minute to cover a concert. But it was great fun. It was a fun program, and I really enjoyed working with the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, and I was very, very happy to get invited to come back again this year.
Well, somebody must have thought you did a good enough job that they asked you back, because that's the thing about guest conducting, particularly if it's the last minute. If you come in and screw it up, then you're done.
Well, that's
probably
true.
There and everywhere else, or at least a lot of other places.
That's the two-edged sword, I guess. It's great to get the chance, but you also have to show that you belong.
You're listed here as an emerging American conductor, which is a wonderful, wonderful name. You have the gig with the Rockford Symphony Youth Orchestra. And tell me about some of the other things that you're doing currently.
Well, my other sort of ongoing job is conductor of the orchestra at University of Illinois Chicago, sister university of UIUC. That's just an emerging program. They've only had the orchestra for about 5 years. And I will be guest conducting the Oshkosh Symphony next spring. I'm actually a candidate for music director with Oshkosh Symphony up in Wisconsin, small regional orchestra. And doing a lot of assistant work, assistant conductor for the Peninsula Music Festival in Wisconsin, and also
In Door County.
In Door County, yes, the Summer Music Festival. I was the conductor in residence of the International Beethoven Festival this past fall. That's a new music festival. It's only been in existence for a few years in Chicago, but it's a very exciting group of young, up-and-coming, very energetic musicians led by a very dynamic musician named George LePau. He's a pianist. He's an entrepreneur. He's a bit of everything. And that was a very, very exciting and interesting festival to work on in Chicago.
Well, what does that mean? What did it mean in that case to be conductor in residence?
Well, it was a festival in which it was a very complicated music festival, something like 60 concerts. Most of them were...
In what kind of time?
In 1 week. Yeah, it was...
All Beethoven.
It was not all Beethoven. They did allow other composers onto the program. Much of that was chamber music, obviously, but they did have a number of larger ensemble performances. So there were two full symphony concerts and a couple of small chamber orchestra concerts. And as the conductor, and for the big concerts, they had guest conductors coming in from New York, Daniel Boyko, and also Matthias Pinscher coming in from Germany. So, you know, as when you're having conductors coming in from that far, it's not a bad idea to have somebody that can be there and ready to take over in case there's a problem, just like as you have with an assistant conductor. So I was covering those concerts, and also I had a concert of my own, and this was music by a composer named Mikolaj Gorecki. He's actually the son of the famous Gorecki, who wrote Symphony No. 3, wrote a beautiful violin concerto called Concerto Notturno for violin and strings. And so I conducted that piece on the festival with Matthias Take, was the violinist, and a small ensemble of the orchestra. It was very, very fun and rewarding concert.
I wanted to, you've used a term twice now that, just by way of education of our listeners who may not know these things, to cover a concert. In conductorial terms, that doesn't mean you're going to hover over the thing and, you know.
That's true.
You know, give it the big blessing or something. What does it mean?
It's kind of like being a backup quarterback. It's, you don't actually do anything. But if something happens to the first string, you got to be ready to jump in there and conduct. So you go to the rehearsals, you observe. Sometimes a conductor might ask you to check the balance, or you know, maybe make some rehearsal notes during the rehearsal. It kind of depends on the conductor. They might not ask you anything at all, and it's kind of insurance in case there's some kind of problem. A lot of the bigger orchestras do that because they might have a guest conductor coming in, you know, from a very far away, and that way that there's someone there to take the baton in case there's any kind of travel problems or illness or anything like that.
And as you said at the outset, that's one of those ways that people, there's been some pretty famous debuts made that way.
Indeed.
And careers made that way.
Indeed.
I don't know if that'll happen as a result of work with the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, but it all builds up.
Well, any experience is a good one.
That's right. Champaign-Urbana Symphony is giving its holiday concert Thursday night. Daniel Black is guest conducting. This is a season of guest conductors for the symphony because all of the conductors of their subscription concerts are candidates to be the music director. Daniel is not a candidate for this job, but as he mentioned, he is a candidate in Oshkosh, which I assume means you're probably looking all over the place.
Well, the thing about conductor searches is that they take a very long time. Typical music director search, as you mentioned, is about a two-year process, and sometimes even longer than that. So you kind of have to be constantly looking and constantly seeing what's available, unless, of course, you already have the dream job. If you're Riccardo Muti with the Chicago Symphony, then I guess, you know, you don't have to worry about it so much.
But he kind of worked his way up to that.
I'm sure he, I'm sure he went through this before. So, you know, I'm a relatively young conductor and looking for more professional orchestra experience and starting to get guest conducting. But my primary jobs and primary positions are still youth orchestra and college level orchestra. So I'm still looking for those opportunities to work at a professional level, work with, higher level artists.
When you're putting together a holiday concert, which means primarily a Christmas concert, in fact, I'm looking at all the tunes on here and I don't see one that isn't directly affiliated with Christmas. What are some of the things you had to do, at least assuming that you did all the programming, which may not be quite true, or it may, to come up with what you think is a good mix?
Well, I did do the program for this year, and I'll tell you, it's not easy to program a concert like this. You know, subscription concert is easy. It's pick a symphony, pick a concerto, add an overture, and there you go.
Or something like that.
It's not quite that easy, but
3-4 pieces and...
You know, yeah. It's a little more simple task. But with this, we're dealing with smaller scale pieces, which means you need more. And I think with a holiday concert, my overwhelming concern was to have something for everyone. You know, some people are interested in finding something more traditional, more classical. And for those kind of listeners and also I love that music myself, pieces like the Waltz of the Snowflakes from the Nutcracker or the Vaughan Williams Christmas Carol Fantasia, beautiful piece. Those kind of pieces are a little more serious and a little more close to what you would expect from a traditional symphony concert. On the other hand, we've got very charming guest artists, very small, I should say, as well, the Central Illinois Children's Choir, directed by Andrea Solia, and a number of children's choir pieces as well. And for those, it's a lot of lighthearted, a little more lighthearted. We've got a very charming piece by Gary Fry called The Twelfth Elf, which is all about a very small elf that wants to help out and do her part on Christmas. We've got movie soundtrack, the classic Hollywood sound, this coming from the film Polar Express, with music by Alan Silvestri. We've got Sleigh Ride on there. You know, I wanted to have little nuggets that would appeal to just about everyone and kind of be like a musical buffet or musical smorgasbord where you get to choose and sample many different kinds of music.
Well, you mentioned Vaughan Williams's Fantasia on Christmas Carols, which is a longer piece that features chorus, but also features a baritone solo with the orchestra. Have you worked with the baritone soloist before? I know he's sung around here a lot of times, Daniel Borup.
I met him just yesterday for just a private rehearsal, but no, I haven't worked with him before. And I'm very much looking forward to working with him. We'll have him with the orchestra tonight for the rehearsal and obviously with the concert on Thursday.
Here is a performance of, we'll hear just the beginning of the Fantasia on Christmas Carols by Vaughan Williams, which features a different baritone, of course, Stephen Varco, with the Cambridge Singers and the City of London Sinfonia, conducted by John Rutter here on Live and Local. So you get a flavor of the first portion, anyway, of the Fantasia on Christmas Carols by Vaughan Williams, The Truth from Above, that opening carol, featuring in this recording Stephen Varco as the baritone solo, the cellist was Stephen Orton, and the Cambridge Singers and City of London Sinfonia, conducted by John Rutter. The forces that will be involved on Thursday night's concert are, of course, the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, since it's their holiday concert, a baritone Daniel Borup, and a guest conductor Daniel Black, along with kind of a pickup chorus of singers from different church choirs in the Champaign-Urbana community. Have you had a chance to work with them yet?
I haven't worked with them yet. I do have a rehearsal this evening, just prior to the full dress rehearsal, in which I'll get a chance to work with them then.
So you'll find out how that experiment worked, I
guess. Indeed. Well, I've been hearing good reports, so I can only assume that it's going very well.
Chester Always, I think, is the conductor who's been rehearsing them, as I understand. I hope I'm not speaking incorrectly about that. In fact, Chet's going to be on the show on Friday because his group called the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana is giving their annual Christmas concert on Sunday, I think. But more about that on Friday. But I know a number of choirs from around the area have contributed singers. And which pieces on the program will that choir be participating in? You mentioned the Central Illinois Children's Chorus.
Right. They do actually have a bit part in the piece I mentioned called The Twelfth Elf. And They're also singing in an arrangement actually that I made myself of O Holy Night, the traditional Christmas song by Adolph Adam. And aside from that, they'll of course lend their voices to the sing-along with the audience at the end of the program.
Since you mentioned making an arrangement yourself, and we talked earlier about the process of assembling a program for holiday time, Christmas time, and its various challenges, you would think that there are enough arrangements of A Holy Night that you didn't need to arrange one yourself, and yet you either had to or you just did it anyway. What would necessitate that, just out of curiosity?
Well, that's a good question. When I was looking, I had that particular carol in mind from very early on in the process of putting together the program, and I looked at a number of different arrangements, and I was trying to find something that could include as many of the different performing groups we had planned to have as possible, so the children's choir, the soloists, the adult choir, and the orchestra. And of the one or two arrangements that I found of that had that kind of instrumentation, I was not able to find one that was a more of a like literal traditional transcription of the original. A lot of composers will write something that's almost like a mini fantasia and something like that, you know, which are great pieces in their own right, but it wasn't my conception for the piece. I think that particular carol, which is one of my favorites, the beauty of it is its simplicity. It has such a very, very delicate texture and very delicate harmony, and each chord is meaningful. And I think, you know, I wanted to capture that sense of the original in a setting that would use everybody. And I, you know, without finding a pre-existing one, I figured, hey, I might as well make one myself.
Is that something you've done with any regularity, arranging?
It is with some regularity. I actually was a composer by training before I became a conductor. So although I haven't done a ton of arranging, that's certainly within my area of expertise, I guess. And it's something that I find very, very enjoyable and very fun.
I'd forgotten that aspect of your biography. I know you work with some pretty well-known composers, and so you've got the tools to do arranging. If you know how to manipulate the forces,
right,
to your own purposes.
You know, I think just about any conductor should be a good arranger, in my opinion, because if you look at so many as many orchestral scores as conductors do, that really gives you a sense of what will sound good and how it will come off. So I think I've known a very large number of conductors that will do their own little arranging projects when needed.
And you can hear Daniel Black's arrangement of A Holy Night, and of course all the other pieces that are on this program, which has lots of variety. There'll be lots of tunes you'll recognize, of course. There'll be some that you may not. If you've never seen The Polar Express, you may not know the music from that particular film, and then some other things that are sort of, as he mentioned, familiar from the classical realm. And then there's a piece that may or may not be familiar by Giancarlo Menotti, which we're going to go out with. It's from his Christmas opera, Amahl and the Night Visitors, which I confess I've only seen once, and I don't remember where does the shepherd's dance fit in there.
Well, the plot of the opera, it's the first opera that was ever written for TV, and so it's a short one-act opera, and the plot of it is the three wise men from the Christmas tale have stopped on their way to Bethlehem at the home of this poor young boy, crippled boy named Amahl, and his mother, and sort of what happens during that. Right after the three kings have arrived, of course, Amahl and his poor mother are very humbled to have such wealthy guests, and so they round up all the local shepherds and they ask them to help entertain these guests. So they bring food and they perform a little dance and a little song for the Kings, and the number that we're doing is the Shepherd's Dance. It's their dance as they entertain their royal guests.
Well, that's a nice image to end with. Daniel Black will be guest conducting the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra Thursday night at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, along with a chorus of singers from various local church choirs, the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, under the direction of Andrea Solia, soprano Audrey Valance. I forget if she says Valance or Valance. I should know, but I don't. Daniel Borup, the baritone. And you can get more information by going to their website, either website, krannertcenter.com or cusymphony.org. And for more, the ticket number at the Krannert Center is 217-333-6280. Daniel, thanks very much for joining us on the show, and best of luck with the rehearsal and performance.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's music by Giancarlo Menotti from the opera Amahl and the Night Visitors. It's called The Shepherd's Dance. We heard a performance by the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra conducted by Andrew Schenck, and that will be among the numerous pieces on the concert Thursday night by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. You're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program today is made possible with support from 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign, a fair trade retailer offering eco-friendly, handcrafted holiday decor and gift items from around the world. A gift from 10,000 Villages is a gift that gives twice. We also have support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. Also at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts this week, numerous concerts by the University of Illinois bands, including the premier ensemble in the band division called the Illinois Wind Symphony, which is conducted by the director of bands, Robert Rumbelow. They're giving a concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at Krannert that will also feature a faculty soloist, horn player Bernard Scully, in music we will hear, talked about by my guest, who is Dr. Rumbelow. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
As always, a great pleasure, Kevin. Thanks for inviting me.
I think we've missed a few concerts.
We have missed a couple of concerts. It's been an active semester for the Wind Ensemble and for all of University of Illinois concert bands, but it's been a terrific semester. And if you have time on Tuesday night, we'd love to have everybody out for just a wonderful concert with the Illinois Wind Symphony to finish up the semester.
And before we do specifically talk about the Wind Symphony, since I mentioned that the other bands are also performing, do you have in mind when those are?
Well, we just passed those.
They were all last week.
Indeed.
Okay.
So this is the final concert for UI bands this semester.
Yeah, last week I kept seeing this band, that band, the other band.
It was an active concert week for sure.
Well, not only from U of I, but also everybody's ending their semester at ISU and at Eastern and Illinois Wesleyan, and everybody's giving their big ensemble concerts. But we cap it off with the top band, as they say. All the bands are auditioned?
All the bands are auditioned. Everyone takes an audition, right.
So does one audition for a particular band, or does one audition for the bands, and then the jury decides where they go?
Actually, it's a two-level audition process. You can audition and take the advanced audition, which all of our music majors take, and the non-majors who feel that they're ready to take the advanced audition. And that audition dictates who's in our top two orchestras and top two bands in the wind section, wind, brass, percussion. And then if you aren't in one of those groups, the top two orchestras or the top two bands, then you take the standard audition, which a lot of people wait and just take the standard audition. And then those that didn't make one of the top four groups take a secondary audition the very next day. And that will dictate whether they're in Harding or Hinesley Symphonic Bands or Campus or University Band.
So the top two bands, the Wind Symphony and which is the other
Wind
one?
Wind Orchestra.
The Wind Orchestra.
That Linda Morehouse conducts.
And you came in and renamed all these bands. Some of them.
A bit, yes. Actually, the top band has retained its name. Jim Keane moved it over from the Symphonic Band to the Wind Symphony early on in his time here, about 20 years ago. And so that name is stuck, and everything else has gotten renamed a little bit. So.
Well, you've always, I mean, I remember ever since the first time we talked, which was when you were introduced as the director of bands here, and I'm sorry, I'm going to forget how long it's been already. A couple years? Three years?
It's actually, my third anniversary is this January. So I came in mid-year. So.
That's right. You were a midtermer.
That's right.
But I remember from the very first conversation that you've always paid lots of tribute to University of Illinois, the band program here, and all of your predecessors. So.
Oh, truly! One of the greatest things here is the amazing history of the band program, and we wouldn't be where we are today without the great foundations that were laid by those that came before us. And so, renaming those big symphonic bands, which was so much part of the tradition during the day. After Harding and Hinesley made a lot of sense, and we've gotten a lot of compliments for that. And of course, the members of the Hinesley family enjoy the idea that one of the large symphonic bands is named after their father. And so it's I think a nice tribute to continue having those names there. And Campus and University Band also, even though they're not named ensembles, it does give you this idea of inclusion, which we like to say that there's a band for you if you're at the University of Illinois and you play an instrument. We do have a band for you and a curriculum that fits. We would like you to continue your music education with us.
So maybe someday down the road there'll be a Keen band or a, who am I forgetting, the guy right? Who
oh, Harry Beejan.
Beejan
Harry
band.
Beejan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
A Rumbelo band.
Oh, no,
one
probably
day when
not.
You're
we
long
stay
gone.
Away from that.
Well, it would be unseemly if it happened while you were still here.
True, true enough.
That would be something. I actually remember some years ago that everybody thought at Tanglewood in Massachusetts that they were going to name the music center after Leonard Bernstein.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, it gets named after Seiji Ozawa, who I think was still there.
He was.
As director of the Boston Symphony. That was always seemed a little bit suspicious. So you don't want to go there.
No.
The Illinois Wind Symphony will be performing tomorrow night, as we said at the outset. And as always, it's an interesting mix of pieces that you have in your programs. There are pieces that will be familiar, not necessarily to band people, although bands have played this one piece, for example, but to orchestral people, namely Aaron Copland's A Lincoln Portrait. So there's a long, long history of bands playing transcriptions from the orchestral repertoire.
Indeed.
And then there is a true monument of the band literature in the case of Percy Grainger's Lincolnshire Posy.
Right. And that's something that continues to be on the auditions for the greatest military groups in our country. In fact, the Marine Band is having an audition right now, and several of the excerpts come directly out of Lincolnshire Posy. So this is certainly not only a great piece of music, but it's fabulous curriculum for our students.
And then the piece, the first half of the concert has three pieces that I personally haven't heard of, and one of them just written in the last few years.
Yeah, all of which, the first half of the concert has been written very recently, and that's just another part of the curriculum that we want to make sure that our students and our audiences are informed about what's going on in terms of composition, and also in terms of who are some of the new composers right now who are writing. And all three of these works are very user-friendly. They're interesting to listen to and fun right off the bat. We took this concert on tour to Plainfield East High School, which they brought in all of the bandsmen from all the high schools and middle schools in Plainfield. So we played for about 700 students on Friday afternoon. And then Friday evening, we played a concert at Lake Zurich. This is the same concert that we'll be presenting tomorrow night here. We played at Lake Zurich for a little over 500 bandsmen from that area, too. And we had such an electric audience and a terrific experience. And we really can't wait to share this particular performance with our audience at home. But it was built to be immediately friendly, exciting, and something that would create a buzz with all of the students that we played for. So I think everybody will enjoy this program.
Well, let's start at the top. Who's Ryan George?
Ryan George
composer
is
of your first piece.
A composer who actually writes a great deal of wind music, and this is one of his pieces that is being performed a great deal around the country right now, particularly in the South and the East Coast. He seems to have a nice pull there, but his music is starting to spread across the country, and this is just something that was fun. It's whimsical and lighthearted, and I thought it would be a lot of fun to start a program with because it's short, and then I could turn around and talk to the audience a little bit after we perform it. So that's the reason it's on there.
And it's called Firefly. Presumably we'll hear why.
Indeed.
Music by Ryan George, played by, do we know who we happen to be hearing in this recording?
Yes, this, I believe, is Duke University.
Duke University bands?
Yeah.
It'll be
Wind Ensemble.
Wind Ensemble.
Sure.
It'll be played by the Illinois Wind Symphony, led by Robert Rumbelow, my guest here on Live and Local, tomorrow night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Well, I think you got an idea of why that was called Fireflies. It was sort of certainly fleeting and playful, and even I could imagine, little flashes of light here and there.
Absolutely. The composer got the idea from his 4-year-old daughter watching a firefly.
So, you never know where musical inspiration will come, do you?
Indeed.
That's the name of the piece, Firefly, from 2008 by Ryan George, who... not a very old composer, born 1978, and that's going to open the concert tomorrow night by the Illinois Wind Symphony at the University of Illinois. Rob Rumbelow is my guest. He's also the director of bands at U of I, and will be conducting that concert. And then there's a piece by somebody named David Sampson, another... he's a little older.
Established, especially in the brass world, he's written several orchestral works. This is actually one of his first wind works. I think he's written two other wind works, and he will be visiting us. So he will be in the house, and if you like to meet composers, he will be right there in the house on Tuesday evening and available for folks to come and talk to him after the concert. So he's just flying in to hear the piece live.
And where's he from?
He is from New Jersey.
And the piece called Moving Parts. We're going to leave that one as a surprise for people, an enticement for them to come. But what's the gist of the title? Or is that another one? You hear it and you'll get an idea.
You'll get an automatic idea. It really does have this sort of industrial, where the last one was so fanciful and whimsical and had some kind of French sounds in it, the Ryan George piece. This particular work is very industrial and kind of thick, and you hear different sections working in kind of machine-like fashion.
Lots of clanking percussion going on, by any
chance? Not too much clanking, but there's definitely some very interesting use of instruments within the ensemble.
Then to close out the first half of the concert, you have the third of this trio of pieces by composers that at least are new to me. I'm not going to say that I thought I knew all the horn concertos, because I certainly don't as a long-lapsed horn player. But you're going to feature the horn professor at the University of Illinois, Bernard Scully, who's a fabulous player.
Oh, yeah, what an amazing talent, and how blessed we are to have him here. He went on the tour, and, of course, there were lines of kids waiting for autographs after the little run-out concerts that we did on Friday. So we were very excited to share this piece, and, of course, Bernard Scully's great artistry with our own hometown hometown crowd on Tuesday night.
So, Rhapsody for Horn from 1995 by Jan van der Roost. Who's this guy?
He's a Belgian composer, and he's written primarily for winds. He writes for brass bands, harmony ensembles, European harmony ensembles, and, of course, American wind bands. He tends to write pieces on various grade levels, so you hear Jan van der Roost on school concerts more often than you do on professional-level college and professional-level concerts. But he does write some very difficult works, and this one is no walk in the park for the horn, let me tell you. It is a very difficult piece, and Bernard just plays it just so wonderfully, but it shows the deepness of the horn, many different tone qualities, stopped, muted, open. He plays very high and low and fast and slow, and it's a real nice piece to show off the horn soloist. And we wanted something on this tour or this run-out concert that allowed us to keep the full ensemble on the stage. There's a lot of great wind music that features a horn soloist, but often with reduced instrumentation. And so we wanted to find something that perhaps people didn't know and that kept the entire ensemble on the stage. And that's how we arrived at the Jan van der Roost Rhapsody.
Is the piece as challenging for the band as it is for the soloist?
In certain sections, but really the soloist is the main thing on this one.
Do you happen to recall who we'll hear in this recording?
Frankly, I don't. I know that the band that's playing is Bowling Green.
Bowling Green,
in Ohio.
Wind Symphony.
Yes, Bowling Green Wind Symphony, but I'm not sure who the soloist is. My apologies.
Well, it'll be Bernard Scully tomorrow night with Robert Rumbelow conducting the Illinois Wind Symphony. Let's give a listen to the beginning of this Rhapsody for Horn by Jan van der Roost. I think you got an idea of that. Sounds like quite a feat for the horn player. The beginning portion of the Rhapsody for Horn by Jan van der Roost, born 1956, and the piece composed 1995. Don't worry, you won't be tested on this stuff later. Bernard Scully will perform as soloist. Unfortunately, we don't know who that was in that recording. He'll be performing with the University of Illinois Wind Symphony tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Robert Rumbelow will be conducting. He's my guest this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9, and I'm Kevin Kelly. Also on the program, Aaron Copland's Lincoln Portrait, I mentioned earlier, is a piece that borrowed from the orchestral literature. One of your colleagues is going to be the narrator. How did he get that gig?
Well, that's right. Well, when we decided to program the Lincoln Portrait as a transcription and a major work for this concert, I was actually talking to Barry Hauser in his office. Of course, Barry is assistant director of bands, and he is director of athletic bands, director of the Marching Illini and our basketball bands. And he said, well, I could do it. And I said, are you serious? And he said, yes, I'd love to do it. And I went, okay, done. So that's how it came about.
Sometimes these things come down to convenience and availability and so on. And then closing with one of the monuments of the literatures mentioned earlier, and let's ask you to hold comment on that for a second. We'll go out with a selection from this piece. I want to mention a few other events that people can go see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days anyway. Tonight at 7:30, also at the Krannert Center, pianist Ian Hobson is continuing his year-long series of instrumental music of Johannes Brahms that features the piano. Don't know what's on the program, but that concert's tonight at 7:30. There's the good old-fashioned Hootenanny at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana. That is at 8 o'clock tonight. Folks are often invited to bring their instruments and join in. Chip Stevens, jazz pianist at the U of I, is bringing his trio to the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock for a happy hour gig. And at the Clark Bar in Champaign, the Champaign-Urbana Singer-Songwriter Collective is presenting the first of two benefit Christmas programs where they'll be benefiting, I think, now I'm I'm going to forget who they're benefiting, but they're benefiting somebody worthwhile. I remember this from our show last week. That's going to be at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. Programming today is made possible in part with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting you to experience sustainable specials and everyday indulgences at Intermezzo Cafe. More information about upcoming events is on krannertcenter.com. This is 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana, with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. So, Percy Grainger, Lincolnshire Posy. I always thought that was such a wonderful name.
One of the great classics of the band repertoire, and it took him about 30 years to collect folk songs that he ended up using in this particular setting, and he collected all of the folk songs that he uses in each of the six movements from the Lincolnshire area of England. And the neat thing about this is Grainger not only tells the story of the folk song, which all folk songs are great stories, but he also tells the story of the person that sang it to him.
Oh, really?
And so there's so much raw personality in this that that's one reason it became a jewel and will continue to always be such in the band repertoire. It's certainly worth coming out and hearing live.
Lincolnshire Posy will close the program by the Wind Symphony tomorrow night at 7:30. And thanks to Rob Rumbelow for coming in and letting us know about it.
Always a pleasure.
This is called The Lost Lady Found, a dance song by Percy Grainger.